It's Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Before I get to the message that we're going to get out about the school board meeting from last night and talk about that, I just received this from the public relations manager at the Daniel Boone Regional Library, the Columbia Public Library. It is closed today due to a water pipe break. According to Mitzi St. John, repairs are underway. Watch for updates. The bookmobiles will make their scheduled visits today, and the libraries in Ashland and Fulton are open, but Columbia Public Library is closed. Christine King, that's a nice way to segue into conversation with you from the school board. Hi.
I'm glad someone else is closed and not us.
Well, we can get to the delayed start from yesterday. But, you know, over the holidays, did they say anything about this in the meeting last night? Because there were some water main breaks that affected schools.
Yeah, we did talk a little bit about it in that we just really tried to give kudos to those people that always work so hard behind the scenes for us. You know, the people that really, we forget that they help take care of our kids as well. And a lot of these people that are doing the sidewalks and cleaning up the messes inside the school, our kids really get to know them and they have a good relationship with them. And so we really appreciate all of our maintenance and custodial crews who come in when we're all at home because it's dangerous to go out potentially. And they make sure our buildings and sidewalks and, you know, we still have a fair amount of trailers that we have to make sure are clear of ice and all that. So they did a great job.
Dr. Stiepelman, the superintendent, did send an all-staff letter that I got to see. I think it was last week, and I can't remember what day. And in that letter, he talked about 6 feet of water in Mill Creek Elementary School kitchen or something.
Well, yeah, and then, yeah, we had that in Mill Creek, and I'm going to miss all the
Derby
schools.
Ridge had one.
Derby
Hickman
Ridge,
had one,
and then Hickman had one 2 days before we opened, and there was 2 or 3 inches of water, but the one downside with that, it rolled down into the gym. And so, but they, when you go to Hickman now, you wouldn't know that there was major damage unless someone told you because they've done a really good job of cleaning it up. But we don't know if there's been damage to the gym floor and all
the
that.
The new gym floor or the new, really?
Correct. Yeah, that's what I've been told. So.
Well, that's a shame, but it's the season for that. There was a water main break on Walnut near the water tower near Walnut and Garth yesterday that they were digging out. I saw the utility crews there, and now what we just got from the Columbia Public Library that's closed there because of a water pipe break.
And
that's the season for it.
I went out really early this morning at about 5, and it was slick out. I mean, there were some spots today that, you know, I was like, ooh, I wonder how our buses are doing. So far, haven't heard anything. So knock on wood, they did well.
I think they have. I haven't heard anything either.
Although I'm sure that will generate a phone call.
It might. It generates my thought because I've asked others that I've had contact with here today. I thought it was worse today than yesterday morning.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, we did get one email of, hey, way to go on doing the late start the other day. And then, you know, anecdotally, you get people that go, I don't know why you late started. And the one thing that we always have to keep in mind is Dr. Stiepelman and his staff have to make the decision with the information they have. And we can sit back and say, well, you should have done this or you should have done that or you should have waited. And what he tried to do is we want to give parents as much time. And if we wait and call it at 5 or 6 in the morning, and if it's a late start, at 5 or 6 in the morning, does that give parents enough time to make decisions? And if you put out too much information about what you're going to do in the future, people get confused. It just happened. Like if you put something out on Sunday saying, we'll make the decision at Monday by 6, that gets lost, it gets confused, and they think there's no school. So we're really in somewhat of a no-win situation, but I thought Dr. Stiepelman and his staff did a good job of explaining why they made the decision when they did with the information they had.
Did they make that explanation last night, or are you talking about something that I missed maybe yesterday?
They told us in case we got information. And you know, and when Michelle puts out the announcement, she says what it's about. And all the information we had said it was supposed to refreeze. And of course, and we have to think not only of main roads, but side roads, rural roads, sidewalks, parking lots, trailers, that type of thing.
The thing about it is, for those in like 6th through 12th grade, I can only speak of high school, I guess, actually, because that's where my daughter is now. And you know this also because your family. But they still went to all of their classes yesterday.
Yes.
They were just shortened.
Mm-hmm.
So in the block schedule, instead of hour and a half, it was about an hour.
Right.
So they
right.
still got mm-hmm. to all their classes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we're supposed to get some weather Thursday.
Yes, we
Thursday
are.
Thursday night.
Yes, possibility.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I don't
it
like
is.
To criticize, and I'm not criticizing other than this
no,
morning was worse than yesterday morning.
It was.
And it was like, oops.
But it is good to talk about it. I think it's fine when you raise those. Okay, so why here and not there? And,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's perfectly fine.
And it's something that they've struggled with all across mm-hmm. the country. Do you call off just because of cold temperatures? Do you
right.
call off other? And each jurisdiction of making that decision has its own things to deal with and mm-hmm. to think about.
Right.
So anyway, we'll move on from that. But speaking of Dr. Peter Stiepelman, the superintendent, in the first meeting of the night, which would have been a closed meeting, you made a decision that did become public during the public portion of the meeting.
Right. And so in his contract, by January 15th every year, I think it's January 15th, we have to decide if we're going to extend his contract to the 3 years. So he has a 3-year contract with every year we extend it a year to make it 3 years. So had we voted not to do that, then his contract would only be good until 2020. But we voted unanimously to extend that contract, so he's good until 2021. And then this time next year, we'll be doing the same thing. We did not vote on any salary. We didn't do an evaluation. We just extend the contract. And then I believe it's in sometime in July or this. My timing is all off on that. Then we vote. We do his evaluation, and we vote on salary. So
that's kind of like a coach. I mean, coaches oftentimes get the same thing, a little bit mm-hmm. longer than 3 years, maybe on the college
right.
level, because they want to be able to recruit players that know a
right.
coach is going to be there for a while. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thought for a 3-year contract? I don't
well,
know.
Well, I think the 3-year contract is just pretty customary. When we wrote up his contract, when we first hired Dr. Stiepelman, it was a little bit different than the contract Dr. Belcher had in terms of some of the parameters. And that was under the guidance of Missouri School Board Association as well. But one of those things is you do want to show support for your superintendent that, okay, so for the next 3 years, he can do what he wants to do. And we know that really the average tenure of a superintendent, at least in Missouri, sadly, is about 5 years. And it really takes someone, really with any new leadership position, in my opinion, it takes them anywhere from 3 to 5 years to get to that point where things are cooking on, you know, on all burners. And, you know, Dr. Stiepelman has had a lot of turnover and a lot of changes, and we've done a lot of new things, and you have to allow that to play out a little bit. So, but he had full support of the board. It was a good discussion.
Was the turnover basically because of retirement age decisions and also just better opportunities to go elsewhere
yeah,
for that?
I think a lot of all the above. And, you know, we know that with a new superintendent as well, you're going to have – that's when people make decisions, okay, I'm going to leave now because I can retire and, you know, and move on. And that's pretty normal. We also had some other people that moved to different positions, which is normal. And I'm sure over the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see every year a position here or there within administrative staff that decides to either leave or go to, you know, they get promoted. And that's pretty typical. We just have to manage that.
How many years has Dr. Stiepelman been the superintendent now?
Oh, gosh. It's been since 2014. Yes. 14. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, yeah.
Christine King is our guest. We're talking about the school, public schools in Columbia and the school board meeting last night. You can join us if you have a question or comment at 442-8255. Let me ask about because I looked at the agenda prior to yesterday, and I saw that there was going to be the perception survey that was going to be mm-hmm. discussed by Patron Insight, which is the company that runs the survey.
Mm-hmm.
What of that report sticks in your mind?
You know, really what, you know, we put that survey in place back in, I think it was 2010, when we were maybe 2009, 2010, right when Dr. Belcher came on board and things were real iffy between our public and our school board and the district itself. And so what we found is people are generally really happy with what we're doing. They value, which this isn't surprising, but they value good teaching staff and small classrooms. When asked about what we can do better, not a weakness so much, what we can do better is they still will push us to manage our budget better. And that doesn't mean that we're doing it badly. They're just saying, look, we're entrusting you with a lot of money. We want you to manage it. Make sure you're managing it right. On the same side, they do say we keep our promises. So when we ask for money, we deliver on those promises. And of the people surveyed, it was over 85% of the people that said, if we had an election today on a no-tax bond issue, would you support it? And they said yes. Now, we were also cautioned by the individual from Patron Insight, don't rest on that. You still have to go out and campaign and support it, which we totally understand. But I felt that was a really good start, that we are getting our story out there. The thing that I think that was most surprising from the survey was the perception that our graduation rate is not where it needs to be. And yet our graduation rate continues to improve. And I don't have all the numbers in front of me. I should have brought that survey in. But so we just said, okay, so that's a perception. So we need to do a better job of getting those numbers out and telling what the actual story is.
That was one of the things picked up by the Missourian summary of last night's meeting. It said the misperception the survey found was graduation rates, and had a couple of comments from Darren Priest, who is the president of the board. That's gotten the most coverage in our community in terms of our work around the graduation rates. The city has spent a great deal of time trumpeting the success of the schools and raising graduation rates for all students.
Right. And, you know, and that could be what that means, is that the perception of our public is, we can still do better, you know, because we really want every kid to graduate and be ready for college, career, and what lies beyond high school graduation. So
that, again, I guess just get the message out. Keep on talking about the message.
Yep, we sure do.
But that has improved.
It has.
For all. And that would be a good topic to have as a conversation with someone from the school administration sometime in the near future. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I thought was interesting from the Missourian article is that when participants were asked what improvements they would like to see the district implement, participants' top answer was, I don't know.
Right.
Which is kind of, I don't know. Well, that's a good answer, though.
Right. And hopefully that means, wow, you're doing so many things that we like, we can't think of something else. And I do think that as our school district continues to grow and some of our building of new buildings kind of tapers off, which is good, and we focus on the maintenance and the structure of our current buildings and getting our classroom sizes where we want it in those overcrowded pockets, like at the middle school level and stuff, that we really zero in on what's most important to us rather than focus on everything. And because we do need to focus on everything, but what is most important to us? And I think that we've seen over the last several years, graduation rate was very important to us, and we focused on it, and kids are graduating, and, you know, and so now we just have to make the decision what is most important to us to focus on. And it's always the students, of course, but how are we going to get that achievement that we really want?
We'll go back to something else that you said. As far as that survey was concerned, 85% said they would support a no-tax increase bond issue, which is going to be on the ballot in April.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were asked specifically that one, but the idea there is, what is that, $35 million or so?
Yeah, $35 million, and that's for the new middle school, the building of the new middle school, and then some other improvements, Lee Elementary and some other schools. But the nice thing, and we talked about this last night, is we are now at a point with our bond schedule that it used to be that we would pass a bond, and then it wouldn't be until about 2 years until we would go out into the market and issue those bonds and get the revenue and actually start building. Mm-hmm. So for someone who, let's say you're doing something that's important to your children right now, you wouldn't see the effects of that for at least 3 years. Now, when we pass, and I say we will pass this bond issue in April, we'll go to market in February, March of 2019 to issue those bonds, get the revenue, and begin. So people will see the benefit and what we're doing with those bonds much, much sooner.
But what's the target date for opening the new middle school? Is it 2020?
That's 2019.
It's 2020?
2020. Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, I knew it was trying to move it up faster than what it could be.
Yeah,
so
it could be 2020. Peter, if you're listening, you can shoot
me a text.
You'll be able to.
I mean, the movement on that new middle school is already going.
Right.
So,
but since we'll go out to market in 19, everybody will begin to benefit quicker because of the building. We'll be able to do everything quicker. Whereas before, like when we had the bond issue in 2012, we didn't even go to market until 2014 and then beyond, because we couldn't issue it all then. We had
so
to
how come
it
it's moved up? How come it's more efficient now?
We have spent all of our, we've done all the construction with the current bond. We're going to go to market in March of the last of the 2016 bond, if I'm correct on that. And so we have just sped up all of our building and we've got it all done. And so with our current bonds, mm-hmm. I mean, so, and we've talked in finance committee a couple months ago about we could increase our bond capacity, but then we'd have a higher debt payment and we don't want to do that. And so we're really at a really good point right now. And I think this speaks highly of back in 2010, when the Long Range Facilities Committee at that time under Dr. Belcher put together this plan, and then now under Dr. Stiepelman and the current committee, we're continuing to look out 10 years and really put together a good bond plan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's speaks highly of what the work we've done.
Again, Christine King is our guest on what we're talking about, bond and finances and those matters. Last night, I printed off the charts that I think Superintendent Peter Stiepelman looked at as far mm-hmm. as where do you start to get a little bit nervous as far as the percent of reserve funds on hand?
Well, personally, and I asked the question to Anna Munson, our CFO, last night, that the percentage we have, that 18 to 22%, is that good to pay our bills for 3 months? And she said, yes, it is. I get very nervous if we're right at 18. I do. And I'm very conservative, so it's probably good to have the extremes on the board of people that get really nervous when we're down to 18%. And then people that say, no, we're still okay. I probably get nervous even at 19%, given all the expenses we have and what we're doing with all of our buildings. But at the same time, this 5-year model that's out there, you know, we don't go out 5 years and go, well, what will the assessed valuation be? We kind of hold steady. And then as we get closer to varying years, we might adjust that assessed valuation. Number one, the state and the federal money that we do get becomes clearer about a year out. And then certainly, as we get closer to actually opening schools, the true cost of those schools come to light. So as someone was asking about that, about the, does it show increase to salary compensation for teachers? It just shows that we will be operating the salary schedule based on how it will look after the 9 cents is put in this year.
But one of the things that, as I understand it, one of the principles will be, and not principles of schools, but I'm talking one of the guiding rules mm-hmm. or one of your guiding objectives would be to deal with salaries and things like that, and try to be fair about that
and
in the future.
Yeah, and that has been on there for quite some time.
That's what mm-hmm. I thought. I thought all these would probably be every year you're dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, we've tweaked that. We've tweaked those budget assumptions over time just to make it clearer. And we did approve those assumptions, but we're going to make hopefully an amendment. Kathy Steinhoff, the exclusive representative for CMNEA, brought up last night that I think it was on number 6, the one regarding building and those types of things. She wants that maybe a little bit more specifically tied to the operating budget, because if you go out and you build too much, even though that's all with bond money, the actual building, the operating of those schools is with operating money.
I see that, and I can understand that.
Right.
And I think that's hopefully something that we've learned over the growth of the school district is that you can have the bond money for the building of the facilities, but then you have to staff and you have to have the upkeep. I mean, you have to have the actual mm-hmm. functioning of those mm-hmm. facilities.
And we do have that money, and I think that what her point was last night is if that inhibits our ability to pay teachers mm-hmm. a better salary, and I totally understand and agree with that. However, then on the survey, if you notice, you know, that we're at kind of a crossroads because smaller class size and obviously great teachers are what's really important to parents. And so in order to release some of that crowding in some of those schools, you have to build a new school because parents don't want trailers. Mm-hmm. Teachers don't want trailers. So there is a little bit of a crossroad. And so she does want us to evaluate programs, which is totally fine. We need to be doing that. And that's where if we really focus on what's most important to us as a school district, we might be able to reduce maybe some of our programs, processes, and to funnel a little bit more money to where it matters most.
Looking at 5-year model for operating funds, and the percent in reserve is over 26% projected for next year.
Right.
Goes down to 8 percentage points less 5 years from now. I understand you're just looking at 5 years, but that trend of going down from 26.67% to 18.66% between now and 5 years from now, beyond that, what was the projection, or did anybody even say anything about beyond
that? We talked about that last night, and I don't know what the 10-year projection is, but probably it would continue to go down because we just leaving everything flat. And remember, that is very similar to what happened when we opened up Battle. We maintained a little bit higher reserves so that when we opened up Battle, and in this case, when we're at opening up the new middle school and then also the new East Elementary School, the new Cedar Ridge, of course, that's one of the reasons why those reserves goes down. So that is really planned. The planned deficit spending, once this building stops, then of course we need to really reduce, if not stop, that planned deficit spending, which we've already started to put some of those things in place with zero-based budgeting and some of those items. But you have to be prepared for when you're opening up a major school, mm-hmm. like a middle school or even an elementary school. It all costs money.
I'll leave with this and the article from the Tribune. It was something that I asked the last time I had either a school board member on or a school representative, and that is, how's the city and the school working together for the road out by the new middle school?
You know, as a board member, I have not heard anything negative or positive. I would like to think that both sides are doing whatever we need to do to get that done. So I have not heard anything. As of now, we do have a long-range facilities meeting on Thursday. We might get more of an update on that.
All right. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I did not stay up to watch the end of the national championship
Neither
game.
Did I.
Okay.
Neither did I. Yeah. But you didn't have a meeting that preempted your opportunity to do that either.
Home.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Christine
yeah,
King
nice.
From the school board has been our guest. This is KFRU. Mm-hmm.